Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Hello, and welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 7.
Can't believe it's 7 already.
I know. You say that every episode.
I don't say every episode, I can't believe it's 7.
You say I can't believe it's whatever number it is. Anyway.
It's
so
late.
So tonight, these podcasts publish on Friday morning, but we record them on Thursday night, and typically it's after we both had a long day of work. So if we sound a little silly, it's because
we are.
Yes. So anyway, our topic tonight is everybody lives here, everybody helps. And another saying that came to mind when we were thinking about this is we live in Amish country, and there's an Amish saying that's pretty prevalent that's many hands make the work light. And we did find a scripture that goes with our topic tonight, and it's from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. This is out of the New International Version. And it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." So we want to talk about the roles of husbands and wives and how they play out in day-to-day running of the household. That's, as I said, our title is Everybody Lives Here, Everybody Helps. And we know that lots of times in relationships, especially in marriage, there can be stereotypes about whose responsibilities are whose and what the husband should be doing and what the wife should be doing. And I know from friends that who come from different cultures that sometimes there are cultural norms around this too. And so we're not saying that our way is the only way, but that it's something that you need to discuss together as husband and wife or prospective husband and wife to determine how it's going to play out in your household.
Yeah, well, our prospective roles, if you want to call it that, I mean, they've evolved over the years too. I mean, when we first got married, it was one way, and it's just kind of changed over the years when our jobs changed. And when we first got married, when we first got married, it was just you and I. Then our daughter came along, and of course, that was a big change and changed a lot of the ways we did stuff. Mm-hmm. And then after Ashley grew up and moved out, that changed a lot of stuff. And then I went on the road. So, you know, as we've gone along, things have progressed and changed.
And I think it's interesting too, since we only had a daughter, our daughter, whose name is Ashley, spent a lot of time with you when you were fixing things or doing home repairs and things around the house. And so while she was working with you, you just taught her how to use tools that you were using.
And it's funny because now she does a lot of stuff at home. Matter of fact, I think one of her Christmas presents she was excited about this year was somebody gave her an orbital sander.
Yes, remember correctly. It was purple too. It was her favorite color. Yeah, she's recently for presents requested different tool sets and things to broaden her repertoire of tools that she has at the house. And basically she is more mechanically inclined with those kind of things than her husband is. Now her husband is an excellent cook. He actually works as a chef. Now actually he's working as a baker, but so he prepares these wonderful meals, which we are the beneficiary of. So that's nice. But, and that's been something that's been different in our relationship too, is fortunately, and Wayne shared in his story that I'm his third wife. Now we've been together for 38 years, but so he came to the relationship knowing how to cook, because you lived by yourself in between a lot of times, or with other people. And he knew how to cook. He knew his mom had taught him how to sew. He knew how to sew a button and
I knew
repair
how to sew
things.
And iron and cook. She made sure I knew how to do that.
You knew how to iron.
Yep. I can even darn socks with a potato.
That's right. With a potato.
Yep. I can even do that. The things you don't use over the years.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think anybody darns socks anymore. Maybe they do.
But I don't know.
But it was never, maybe it was just because he had been married before and I was, you know, I was 27 when we got married. And so.
So was I.
Yes. So were you. We were both 27 when we got married. And so I had lived on my own for a long time and I was a very independent woman. Maybe we just came at it from a different direction, but we have always split up the chores around the house. I mean, Wayne does his own laundry and he cleans toilets and he cooks and I try to fix things, but I do a lot of, I pay the bills and, you know, and I know a lot of couples, the husband pays the bills. A lot of couples, the wife pays the bills. It depends on who the strong points are. And I think you have to work together as a couple to figure out who has the strengths in what areas and what things that you can share responsibilities for.
Well, and it's just worked out as far as the cooking. I mean, I know some of our friends, the guys don't really cook that much, but they love to grill, you know, so if it's, you know, summertime or whatever, you know, they do a lot of the cooking out there. But other than that, their wives do a lot of the cooking, where with us, we've always, it seems like we've always done where when one of us gets home first, that one cooks. So for a long time, you were home, so you cooked.
Yeah, I got home first, and so I cooked.
Yep. And now for a long time, oh my gosh, for quite a while now, I get home first, so I do all the cooking. And then when there's times that I've traveled, we'll eat out a lot over the weekends. Just and I know there for a while, you felt really bad about eating out, but because I was eating out in a hotel all the time. But for me, it wasn't bad because I was eating out with you.
That's what you said. You just didn't like eating out by yourself. So,
and that was what I always did. I always ended up eating by myself.
So. And I didn't cook very much for myself, very simple things during the week. So I was anxious to go out to have a nice meal. But so that was a discussion we had to work through. I think that's a good example of how you work things out. And so that's the key to this is, if you live in the house, you need to help some way. There are couples, and we have seen in these marriages are usually not very successful, where the expectation is that the woman does all of the housekeeping things, all of the cleaning, all of the cooking, all of the laundry, all of the everything. And I certainly am so appreciative that Wayne goes to work every day. And that he's always been a hard worker. He's always been committed to doing whatever he had to do to make sure there was food on the table and a roof over our heads. However, I have always worked too. And so we both worked in this. He said when we had a baby, then that changed the dynamic. And I mean, one of the things that we shared was you were working night shifts when Ashley was first born. And so you would take Ashley to daycare when you went to work in the afternoon, and then I would pick her up. So we shared that responsibility. And so I think if you're in a position where you feel that more responsibility is on you and that your spouse could be doing more to help, and it could be the husband thinking the wife should do more to help or the wife thinking the husband should do more to help, that's a time where you have to have a conversation.
Yeah, communication is such a key. I mean, I know there have been times where we've had to make a, shall we call it an adjustment. You know, it's a lot nicer to just talk about it and raise the subject than, you know, rather than get irritated and continue to be irritated and then eventually just, you know, getting angry about it and yelling about it and arguing about it. It's so much easier just to communicate about it. And
And I think you can't expect to make major changes overnight. You need to break down your expectations into smaller steps. It's like if you want to, so basically most times we want to get from point A to point Z and you've got to do all the steps in between. You just can't, you can't make somebody who's never done anything. I mean, maybe if you want your spouse to help with the cooking, well, you need them how to help them learn how to cook, or you need to do maybe together on the weekends. You can, there's all these blogs and Pinterest and books and Instagram and things that you can get now on how to prep enough meals for the whole week on the weekend and
or a month
or put them in Ziploc bags and throw them in the freezer. And I mean, we did that for a while. We kind of go in spurs with that, where we'll work together on the weekend to prep meals. You know, that's certainly an easy way if you're trying to get another spouse involved in cooking, is that you could say, here, can you chop this onion, or here, can you, you know, measure 2 cups of this and put it in this bag and help with that process. And then you can ease people into to doing something that they're not familiar with doing. If you would like your spouse to do the laundry and they have never done laundry before, you need to teach them how to do the laundry. And I found the thing is, so as we said, when we first were married, we weren't believers till we were married for about 7 years. And then we started to change our life because walking with Jesus just made us want to change and be better people and really work on things. But I identify now, as 30 years later, I still identify as a recovering perfectionist. That's my personality. And I know for a while, you would get mad because I would ask you to do something and then you do it. And then what would I do?
You'd complain because I didn't do it the way you thought I should do it.
Yes. And so then he'd get mad and then he'd say, well, I'm just not going to do it anymore. And I think that happens a lot with couples, probably more than we hear about, is that, you know, people decide, either the husband or the wife decide, well, I'm just not going to try anymore because nothing I do is ever right. And so I had to learn to give up my expectations. I remember one time we lived in a house where we had problems with mice, and it was in town. You would think it was kind of weird, but we had a dirt basement and we lived kind of near the river. So that was part of the problem, I think. But the mice always liked our silverware drawer for some reason. And so, I mean, I was always, for a long time, till you figured out where they were coming in and could block up that entrance so that they couldn't get in anymore. We were having to empty our silverware drawer and wash all the silverware and clean out the drawer about, what, probably once a week for about maybe 6 weeks or something. So one night I don't know if I was at work or at a meeting or what I was, and it happened again. And Wayne took everything out and he put the silverware back in. Well, he didn't, according to my setup of the silverware drawer, he had switched the location of the forks and the spoons.
Oh, no.
I know. Well, for my personality, and you people out there with my personality can relate, that's like fingers on a chalkboard. Like, that was just, but I purposed, because I knew how we had had discussions. I'm doing air quotations that you can't see. We had had rather heated, animated discussions about the fact that he would do things and then I would redo them or complain about them or whatever because they weren't right. I had purposed that I was not going to say anything and I was not going to do anything. I can't even tell you how much that irritated me every time I opened that drawer and looked at the knives and the forks or the spoons and the forks in my wrong assignment places. And of course there is no right or wrong. There's spoons and forks. They were in the drawer. They were supposed to be in. And about 3 months we went that way. And I just figured it was a self-growth exercise for me to put my husband before me, you know, to prefer him in love, to serve him in love, because he had taken the time, rather than leaving it for me to do, he had taken the time to clean up the mouse poop and get everything out of the drawer and wash everything and clean it and wipe it down and put it back. And so that was just it. And finally, I went through that for about 3 months. And then one day I said to him, and I said, would you mind? I said, would it upset you if I switched the forks and the spoons back to the way they used to be in the drawer? Well, of course he said, no, it didn't bother him because I asked him. But that was a real exercise. And I think those are the things that we need to do, is to put our spouses, our partners, above ourselves and put their needs and wants above ourselves. Not that we shouldn't take care of ourselves. Not that we should put up with any kind of abuse. That's never okay. But that in this kind of situation, that we learn to serve each other.
Well, and I think a lot of it too is, you need to have keep in mind the other person's perspective or personality. Because it, speaking of that situation, I mean, I thought I did good because I cleaned everything and put everything back. But my personality was, okay, I have all the silverware back in the drawer. It didn't necessarily have to go in exactly the same place, but it was clean. The drawer was clean and it was all back in the drawer. But that wasn't your perspective. So, I mean, that's one of the things you really need to, you know, God puts together opposites a lot of times. So we don't all think, and then of course we're men and women, so we obviously don't think the same. But that perspective and just learning to communicate that. So,
Yeah, I think I definitely have more specific ideas about how things should be.
Mm-hmm.
And you're more go with the flow,
go
relaxed
with the flow,
about, you know, kind of like the silverware is clean and in the drawer. And I'm like, well, the forks have to be here and the spoons have to be here and the knives have to be here. And, you know, and sometimes I think that's a lesson we have to learn as individuals too, is we get ourselves worked up about stuff that doesn't really matter. There was a book out a number of years ago. What was it? Don't sweat the small stuff, but it's all small stuff, because we tend to major in the minors. We focus on things that in the grand scheme of things really don't matter. And and I think we really evolved in our relationship with that over the years. We've grown in that. And we keep growing in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although, you know, if everybody has to work here, I'm still contemplating on what the cat's role here is. Because the cat really doesn't do anything except eat and sleep.
Well, that's her.
Well, yeah.
That's her job, is the cat, to eat and sleep. And
yeah.
And she's a good mouser, because we live in the country now, so we expect to have mice, and we do occasionally. Fortunately, they're not. Although when we first moved here, they were in the silverware drawer. I'm like, why are they always in the silverware drawer?
Yeah, there's no food in there.
But she's a good mouser. So when we get one in the house, she usually takes care of it for us.
One way or the other. Yes, one way or the other. She even catches ones that are in the trap.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. That was one day I came out of the bedroom and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And there was a mouse trap in the hallway right outside of where the part of our house where the bedrooms are, and it had a dead mouse in it. And so she had drug the mouse trap from where was it? It was
in the kitchen.
It was
somewhere.
Behind a shoe basket of shoes under the one shelf unit in the kitchen, and she had drug that all the way into the hallway.
Well, but at least she doesn't drag. Remember, because the one time she did that, she drug it in the bedroom.
Well, that's
through the cat door into
that's
the bedroom.
True. Yeah, that's true.
So I'm glad she doesn't do that. Anyway, so
now that we've grossed everybody out with the dead mouse stories.
The cat does have a purpose.
Yes, she does.
I guess.
Well, and she's, do you know that there's research that shows that if you pet your cat and dog, it lowers your blood pressure?
Well, my blood pressure is not high anyway.
Well, so. See, it's because we have a cat. We've had cats almost the whole time we've been married.
We have.
So see, you have low blood pressure because you get to pet the cat.
Pet the cat. Okay, we have digressed.
Anyway.
So it is late.
So we hope you get something out of this, that if you are feeling overwhelmed with all the responsibilities that you have in the household, it's time to have a discussion with your spouse. And, you know, you need to know your spouse's style. And so if you're newly married or whatever, we always try to pray about things before we have serious discussions about things. But maybe there's a friend or somebody you know that could be part of the conversation.
And pick the time when you do have the discussions. We have over the years had discussions right about the time I'm ready to fall asleep. And that's not always the best time to do it. So I would pick a time when it's, you know, a good time for you to talk, not
when people aren't tired or stressed out
or stressed out.
Yes. So, you know. And I would not try to change everything at one time. Mm-hmm. I would pick what is the thing that is bothering you the most? Where is the area that you feel that you need help the most? What would make the biggest difference if you had help with a chore or task in the household, and start with that one thing and then work up from there? Because some people, I know some men come to the marriage and they don't know how to do anything. And there have been instances where we've heard of women who come to the marriage and they don't know how to cook or do laundry or do anything either. So you can't just stereotype it to the men.
I was just talking to somebody at work the other day, and he was complaining that he had gained weight. And I made the comment, oh, you're my, 'cause he got married a year or two ago. And he was telling me how he gained all this weight. And I made the comment, it's like, well, your wife must be a good cook. Well, she didn't know how to cook until I taught her how to cook. I must have taught her too well.
So anyway, we encourage you to have this discussion with your significant other to make life easier for you. Mm-hmm. So we hope you've gained some insight from this, and we pray that your marriage or your relationship is blessed in the name of Jesus, and that you have a wonderful weekend and week ahead.
God bless.
Bye-bye now.